Today we're going to ask the question. This is a fun one, guys. You ready for it? What is worldly music? Where's our music people? Who loves music?
Me.
I love music. Music is awesome. Music is awesome. And we're going to talk about why music is awesome. So this isn't going to be just like, oh, music, you know, is bad. No, music is awesome. And we're going to, because God created it. It's awesome. But before we jump into that, let me kind of give a foundation of how we're going to approach this discussion, how we're going to approach the discussions to come. All right. We want to start with our foundation, everything that we've been talking about up till now, right? Where worldliness comes from. Where does worldliness come from?
Us,
right? Our hearts. Good. What is worldly? Good. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. The definition that we had is a way of thinking that pursues my own desires by ignoring God. Where is it found? It's found in our own hearts. It's found in the world around us. The world has an influence on us. What's the solution? Right? It's not law, but it's a relationship with Jesus Christ alone. So what I want to do today as we ask this, to discuss this, is not to give you, just like I mentioned, a list of things to avoid, but give you the questions to ask. Because I feel like that, if I could help you know how to think, that's going to equip you much better than avoid this style, avoid this song, don't listen, you know, if it has this word in it, don't listen to it, right? There can be some truth in there, but if I just kind of prescribe to you, here's all the things that you should do when it comes to music, that doesn't help you actually think, right? Because music is so, it's cultural, it changes all the time, it's not a fixed thing, and so if you make your the way of thinking too fixed, then you kind of get yourself stuck a little bit. So, we want to start off by talking about what makes music powerful and awesome. All right, what makes music powerful and awesome? Well, the first thing that makes music really powerful and awesome is that it powerfully expresses what is in the heart. It's one of the most effective ways of expressing what's inside. It can powerfully express emotion. Right? A song can convey, I felt that, this is what I felt. It can express, I want that, it can express a desire. It powerfully expresses experience. A musician can convey an experience that was very powerful or life-changing in their lives and convey that in a way that only music can. Right? In a song, you have lyrics, you have melody, and the music and the words blend together to convey, to express what is in the heart much more powerfully than mere words can. Here's a bunch of quotes from a bunch of musicians. Some of these I've heard of before, others I don't. So I'm not endorsing all of these musicians, because I don't know all of them. You'll probably recognize some of them. But all of these musicians obviously live their lives in music, right? And so this is them expressing how music can express emotions of the heart better than anything else. John Lydon says, "Music can describe emotions far more accurately than words ever can." Billy Joel, "I think music in itself is healing. It's an explosive expression of humanity. It's something we're all touched by. No matter what culture we're from, everyone loves music." David Bowie said, "I had to resign myself many years ago that I'm not too articulate when it comes to explaining how I feel about things, but my music does it for me." So he's saying, like, if you were to ask me how I'm feeling, my emotions, and I have a hard time just speaking them, but if I can sing a song, if I can express it through music, I'm much better at that than just talking about it. Bruce Springsteen said, "All I try to do is to write music that feels meaningful to me, that has commitment and passion behind it." Leo Tolstoy once said, "Music is the shorthand of emotion." Victor Hugo, "Music expresses that which cannot be said and on which it is impossible to be silent." Oliver James finally says, "Music is an outburst of the soul." And I say all these things to say that this is kind of what makes music cool. I think this is why God created music. That this is one of the purposes of it. That it can convey more effectively than anything else what's going on inside. So it can express what's in the heart, and then it can also impact the heart in a very powerful way. So expressing is kind of from the musician side, right? Someone who makes music is expressing, and then impacting is on the hearer's side. It can impact us. The lyrics can make an impact. Even the tune and style can make an impact, right? The tune and the style is meant to match the lyrics in a powerful way that convey a message, right? If you ever have heard a song where the lyrics don't really match the style, it just doesn't have the same effect, right? I wouldn't sing a lullaby to my child in like heavy metal screamo, okay? That would not have a good effect. It would have an impact, not the right impact, okay? So music has this powerful ability to impact our hearts. I mean, we've all had a song get stuck in our heads, right? Yeah. Usually the songs we hate the most get stuck in our heads and we can't get it out. That's what's powerful about music. We can hear it and then it just like sits in our brain and just lives there. And it's really hard to get it out. Beethoven, you've heard that guy before.
Yeah.
Music is a higher revelation than all wisdom and philosophy. He saw music as like just the pinnacle, which is probably why he spent his whole life doing it, right? Martin Luther, this isn't a musician, but this is a reformer, a theologian who he really loved music. And this is what he said. "My heart, which is so full of overflowing, has often been solaced and refreshed by music when sick and weary." He says later, "Music is a mistress and governess of those human emotions, which control men or often overwhelm them. Whether you wish to comfort the sad or subdue frivolity, to encourage the despairing, to humble the proud, to calm the passionate, or to appease those full of hate, what more effective means than music could you find?" Then this guy named Yip Harburg, don't name your son Yip, that's mean. Yip Harburg was the songwriter for The Wizard of Oz, right? So Over the Rainbow, things like that. This is what he says. I love this quote. This is actually really profound. "Words make you think a thought. Music makes you feel a feeling, and a song," so that would be music plus lyrics, "makes you feel a thought." Right? That's the impact that music has. So taken all together, when we consider that it expresses the heart like nothing else, and it impacts the heart like nothing else, we see that this is a unique and special product of God's creativity in humanity. This is an incredible gift that we have, music. It's something unique to humans. And it's a powerful, powerful tool. The Bible says a ton about the power of music. It incorporates music all the time. It incorporates it in worship. Why is music incorporated in worship so much? Well, because music can express the heart really well and impact the heart really well. And if you want to express a heart of worship and you want to impact a heart toward worship, what better way to do that than with music? Here's some verses that talk about music and worship in Scripture. Music can express a heart of worship. Turn to Exodus real quick. Let me grab my Bible. Turn to the book of Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 15, if you have like headings over your chapter, you might have something like Israel's song. Does anyone know what happened right before this chapter? Exodus 15, what are they singing about? Deliverance from Egypt, right? They just crossed through the Red Sea, and then God brought the Red Sea back over the Egyptian army. And when they saw, look at the end of chapter 14, actually. It says, verse 31, "When Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and believed in him and in his servant Moses." And then chapter 15, verse 1, "Then Moses and all the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. They said, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he's highly exalted. He has thrown the horse and its rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him.'" What's happening here? Something incredible happened to the people of Israel. They saw a display of God's power that none of us have ever seen. This is incredible. And so there's a lot going on in their hearts. And how do they express that? How do they let that out? Through a song. They praise God. They express everything that they've seen through music. Turn over to Psalm 98. The whole book of Psalms is a bunch of songs, right? This is a hymnal. This is like the biblical hymnal. Psalm 98. Verse 1, sing a new song to the Lord, for He has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won Him victory. The Lord has made His victory known. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His love and faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen our God's victory. Let the whole earth shout to the Lord. Let be jubilant. Shout for joy and sing. Sing to the Lord with the lyre and melodious song, with trumpets and the blast of a ram's horn. Shout triumphantly in the presence of the Lord our King. Let all the sea and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it, resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout together for joy before the Lord. For He is coming to judge the earth, and He will judge the world righteously and the people fairly. So this is a call to worship. This is a call to sing. Why? To express everything God has done in our hearts. But also music expresses other emotions too. It expresses sorrow. And the Bible does this too. There's Psalm 5, 6, 13, 22, 42, 51, 69, 88, just to name a few, that are set to music but express emotions of sorrow and loss and fear. So the Bible incorporates both of these, that you can use music to express what's going on in your heart, whether it be joy and worship or sorrow. But also, it impacts a heart toward worship. I had a bullet point mess up there. It impacts a heart toward worship. So music can express a heart of worship, and it can impact your heart toward worship. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 18. 5:18 says, Don't be drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here we actually see both aspects. We see that music expressing a heart of worship. It says, be filled with the Spirit, and that filling expresses itself in worship. And then it says speaking to each other, instructing others through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That music can impact, music can instruct and impact your heart toward worship. And for those reasons, the Bible incorporates music, points to music as a powerful tool. That's what makes music powerful and awesome. Those two things. So, taking all this into consideration, how do we discern, okay, what's worldly music, what's not worldly music? Well, let's go back kind of to what we've been doing before and think through this. All right, let's say this is the heart of the artist, the musician. Here's me over here. Music can express, all right, so here's some music notes. All right. Music can express what's in the heart. Music can impact the heart. It can powerfully communicate what's going on inside, whether that be feelings, experiences, or it can impact you in a powerful way. So really simply, how do we discern what music should I listen to? What's worldly music? What's not worldly music? Real simple. Ask these two questions. What's being expressed and how does it impact me? All right, what's being expressed and how does it impact me? Just to give an illustration, right? Just how this works in normal life, right? So let's say that there's an artist, there's a musician. He or she went through this really bad breakup, right? So they're just really sad. They got a lot of emotions going on, right? A lot in here, right? They have a breakup. And they're sad. Maybe they're angry. Maybe whatever. Fill in all the emotions. And they don't know how to express that any other way than making a song about it. There's one or two songs about breakups in the world, if you didn't know. A lot of people make songs about breakups. All right, so the artist is saying, I want to express what's going on in my heart. And then there's little old me over here who just went through a breakup, right? And I'm sad. I might be angry, etc. Okay? So someone creates a song based off of an experience that they had and the emotions that they're feeling. It's expressing these things going on inside. And then the song goes to the airwaves, finds its way to my heart. And I hear that song and I think, I feel that. Right? I've been there. Man, this song gets me. This song is my song right now. And I'm going to put it on repeat. And I'm just going to keep listening to it as I weep in my room and mourn over my loss, right? So it impacts your heart, okay? And usually the songs that impact your heart most are the songs that match what you're going through or how you're feeling or what's happening or what you want in life, etc. So with anything else, if we want to ask, okay, how do I discern what music I should listen to, what I should be filling my heart and mind with, we'll just ask, okay, what emotions, what experiences are being expressed? How does it impact me? Ask those two questions. And if what's being expressed is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, worldliness, if what's being expressed is a way of thinking that pursues my desires by ignoring God, and that's a worldly expression, right? It's an expression of a worldly heart. Is that something I should fill my heart and mind with? Question to ask. How does it impact me? Right? Maybe a song actually taps into something going on in my heart, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, that isn't something I need to feed, isn't something I need to focus on. I need Christ to heal it, not a song to numb it, right? So maybe I look at that and say, well, it's impacting me. The song is actually making me more angry toward this person. Or this song is actually tapping into the lusts of the flesh that God has called me to kill, right? And so I don't want that to impact me in that way. So these are just the two questions that we ask with any song. And really, I mean, this can go, expression and impact, it goes, I think, in a sense, mainly lyrics, mainly words, the message, it can also, I mean, music has an impact, right? Just the song itself has an impact. I could play songs without words to it, and it will make you feel certain things, right? You know, if it's a military march, I can play it, and you can tell this is a military march, right? I can play like a Zen piano, like flute or whatever, those, you know, like peaceful rippling water brooks, right? And it's supposed to make you feel relaxed. Right, unstressed, unwind. Right, or you know, if I were to just blast like you know heavy metal, it wouldn't make you go, ah, right? It's, maybe it does. I don't know. Maybe it does. But you know, music itself communicates with words or not. So don't limit it to this to just the words. Words I think are most important. But just ask yourself what's being expressed. What's being communicated, all right? So, let's kind of jump into this. What is being expressed in a song? Again, the most effective music will express the deepest shared emotions and experiences of the artist and the listener. And there are universal emotions and experiences that both believers and unbelievers share. All right, this is why there's so many love songs in the world. Because, you know, it's the most shared thing between artists and listeners, right? Emotions of joy or sorrow or anger or hope. Experiences of loss or relationships. If an artist wants to produce a song that makes a lot of money, they're going to ask, what song is going to touch the most hearts? What song is really going to kind of stick into the hearts and minds of the most listeners? And then perhaps they look at their own life and experience and what has been the core experience or emotion for them. And they'll say, I bet you there's more people out there that have that shared experience. If I create this song that really expresses my emotions in an effective way, it'll impact a lot of other people in the same way. That's what makes songs powerful. But this is here where we need discernment, right? Because a lot of music produced today is an expression of a heart that doesn't know the hope of Christ, the joy of salvation, the emptiness of sin, and the penalty for it, right? All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Those without Christ, it says they're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity, but that is not the way you learned Christ. And some of these people make music. People that are darkened in understanding, alienated from the life of God, hardened of heart, giving themselves up to sensuality and greediness and impurity. A lot of those people will make music. And if it's an expression of a worldly heart, if it's reflecting these attitudes and way of thinking that is without God, me as a redeemed individual who's been saved by the blood of Christ, I don't need that, right? I don't need that expression in my life. I remember a while back, I was driving down the road and I was scanning through the radio. Do you guys even listen to the radio in the car anymore? Or is it all like, you know, just Bluetooth, all that stuff? There we go. Yeah, your own music, right? Well, I was scanning, right? I was scanning through all the songs. And I don't know why I do it. It's always completely pointless. I never find anything, right? Right. My car doesn't have a Bluetooth, so I'm kind of stuck, you know? It's sad.
I feel so bad.
I know. But I have my cell phone, and I have, you know, wireless earbuds, so I do that sometimes. Anyway, so I was scanning through the radio stations, and a certain song started playing that made me stop and listen to it. And it wasn't because it had catchy lyrics or like this unforgettable tune or whatever. I stopped and listened to it because it was really empty. It struck me as like, wow, like this is life without Jesus right here. And so afterwards, I went online and I looked up the lyrics. And I won't read all the lyrics because they're actually pretty vile. But here's the bridge to the song. The artist says this: staying in my play pretend, where the fun ain't got no end, can't go home alone again, need someone to numb the pain, you're gone, and I gotta stay high all the time to keep you off my mind. And the whole rest of the song is how this artist is distracting herself with all of these endeavors, just chasing after every worldly pleasure. Why? Because this person left her, and she's so empty from it that she has to fill her life and stay numb and stay high with all these other pursuits to distract her from thinking about this person that she lost. And why is that song being played in the radio? Why is that a popular song, or was a popular song? Because millions of people will hear that message and they'll think in their hearts, I felt that, right? Man, that is exactly what's going on in my heart. That's exactly what's going on in my heart. And so that becomes your song, and it gets stuck in there. And now more than ever, really, a lot of times now when I hear a song played on the radio or in the mall or whatever, it's almost like I hear it, like a cry for help, like a frantic plea for satisfaction. And it's a plea that remains unanswered, right? It's emptiness. There's this endless pursuit for the next relationship or the next endeavor. And it's not something, and there's no answer to it, so the songs keep on coming. And so ask yourself, in the music you listen to, what's being expressed? Is it an expression of driven by worldly thinking, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life? Does it glorify what God calls evil? Does it express a heart that could care less about the love of God? If so, then it's safe to say that music is characterized as worldly. Fair? Right? If it's expressing worldliness, then the song is worldly. if it's directing my heart away from the Lord, or if it's conveying thoughts and emotions that are characteristics of a heart that doesn't know the hope of Christ, sure, that's an expression that is worldly. Again, as we look at this diagram, ask yourself, what's being expressed? What's being expressed? How is it being expressed? All right? How does it impact me? John Calvin, right, famous theologian, once said this: music has a secret and incredible power to move our hearts. So that's a good thing. Here's when it's a bad thing: when evil words are accompanied by music, they penetrate even more deeply, and the poison enters as wine through a funnel into a vat. Right, what's he saying there? He's saying evil words are one thing. When you add them to music, it can become even more powerful. It goes even deeper. Just as good words can go deeper into our hearts through music, right? You can recite lyrics to a song, a good song, say a hymn or a worship song. You can recite those words and try to memorize those, right? It's a lot harder than just hearing the song and the song getting stuck in your head, right? And so music can impact in a powerful way, which is a great thing. But because it's a great thing, we also need to be careful of how it is impacting us. So we ask this question: how does it impact me? Philippians 4, verse 8. What does it say? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And the verses before, if you were to look at earlier verses of Philippians 4, right before these verses, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, when you're anxious, right, what's the solution? It's prayer and dwelling on truth. What's good? What's pure? And so let's say, for example, if I'm anxious, right, going back to our little model over here, I could, let's say I have a lot of anxiety in my heart, a lot of worry. I have a couple options, right? I can have a playlist full of songs that express my anxiety in a powerful way, but that's as far as it goes, right? Maybe the song gets me, but it doesn't actually help me, right? I just listen to this, over and over again, the song of someone else who's going through anxiety, and maybe you feel like you're not alone, or you feel like, okay, this song gets me, but is it helping you? Right? What's better to hear when you're anxious? What's better to hear the expression of anxiousness, or to hear what's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, worthy of praise? Think about these things, the truth of Scripture, the truth of who God is, that it can impact your heart and heal your heart and actually help you and give you strength and give you truth to grow in, right? And so how does it impact you? What are you thinking about? Here's an interesting verse. If you look at the negative side of how what we hear and see can impact us, look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. He's talking about Lot here. If you know Lot, the nephew or cousin of Abraham, I just blanked. What is it?
Related.
Right? He went and lived in Sodom. And it says here that righteous man, Lot, lived among them day after day, and he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and he heard. Right? So he wasn't partaking in the lawless deeds. He wasn't doing them. But the constant barrage through seeing and hearing of just the lawlessness and the sin, what was it doing? Tormenting his soul. You know, we can do the same thing even with our music. We torment our soul day after day with lawless deeds through what we hear. And it, maybe it taps into something in our heart, but it doesn't heal. It doesn't give us hope. When we look at how this impacts us, we need to consider, what is it impacting? Think back on that song that I talked about earlier that highlighted the emptiness of life. Why was it popular? Right? Like I said, because it impacts a lot of hearts. It touches a nerve. And whether they mean to or not, when artists write songs like that and when people love songs like that, they're admitting that they're empty. That they're utterly and hopelessly empty, and they're running around from pleasure to pleasure trying to find something that will bring them fulfillment, and it never stops. In other words, it impacts their heart because it resonates with their own emotions and their own experiences. And if we're in Christ, are we empty? No, we're not, are we? God's filled you. The world may be able to identify with your struggles, but they can't offer the cure. Through Christ, He is our deepest desire. We've experienced His love. Christ invites us to end our empty pursuit for pleasure by resting in Him. He heals our pain instead of numbing it. Psalm 16, verse 11 says that He's the one in whose presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. He is the one who said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." In John 6:35, it says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Psalms 107, verse 9 says, He's the only one who satisfies the longing soul. So, again, over here we have a song that expresses emptiness, pursuit of pleasure, pain, anger, whatever, right? Through that song I gave as an example. And through Christ, who came and solved our big three problems, right? The worldliness of our heart, the influence of the world, and the power of the law, came and solved our problems. He gave us satisfaction, gave us hope, gave us peace, gave us joy. These are all the things that Christ gives us, right? This is the things that we have in Christ. And so, when I hear that song on the radio expressing all these things, but over here, I got this, right? I got Jesus. Guess what? That song doesn't impact me the same way. That song doesn't actually take deep root in my heart and mind, and I don't need to repeat it over and over again and push play over and over again. Why? Because I've got this, right? I don't need this. I have Christ. And maybe if a song like this really did impact me, it's a revelation that, man, maybe I do have emptiness in here somewhere. Maybe I do have some anger. Right? Sometimes there are emotions and experiences in our lives that need to be healed by Jesus. They need to be brought to the cross so we can lay our burdens down at His feet. But instead, we go to a song that just kind of feels like a hug, right? It's just like, right? Gets me. And it verifies, many songs often will verify the sinful desire and resonate with them, rather than healing them and curing them and bringing them to Christ. Right? So, what is your playlist? I'm not asking you to show me. All right? Is it filled with songs about love and relationships because your deepest desire is to have a fulfilling relationship? I'm not saying that's necessarily true. I'm not saying if you have songs about love songs, you obviously have a serious problem. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, could it be? This is a question to ask yourself. Is the reason why all my songs are characterized by this? Maybe it's because it's impacting my heart in a certain way. Or, for instance, you have songs filled with anger and betrayal because you just can't forgive that person for what they did to you. Or it's filled with songs about power and dominance because you're tired of being ignored by others. For some people, could it be that your playlist is like a catalog of your deepest desires and experiences? Right? So the impact can be a reflection of what I'm going through, right? What I'm dealing with. The greatest impact on our lives as Christians should be what Christ has done for us. And it's not to say that you can't sing songs about relationships or sing songs about love or sing songs even about sorrow, right? Because those are real human emotions and that's things that happen to us. And sometimes people just express what's going on in their hearts. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying as you ask yourself these questions, what's being expressed How is it impacting me? All right. Now, just some closing thoughts before we're done. Check the time here. All right. Some closing thoughts. And then, if you have questions, we can ask questions if we've got time. So, feel free to ask questions. First closing thought. Be careful of liking a song just because it's catchy without paying attention to the message. You ever done that? I'm raising my hand. All right. You just love a song, and then if you were to ask, like, yeah, but what does it say? You know, I don't know. I have no clue what the lyrics are, honestly. Right? Is this really catchy and it's stuck in my head? Okay. I get that. I've done that many times. I would encourage you just to be wise about that. Maybe it would be good for you to look up the lyrics to that song that you like, and just see if it's worthy to get stuck in your head. It's a fair practice. A catchy tune is a vehicle to communicate something, right? And so don't be naive in that way. Don't just be like, well, I just like how it sounds, right? And let's say it's conveying just something totally godless, just totally vile, right? And it's not enough just to say, well, I don't know what it says. No. Look it up. See what's being communicated. Be intentional about what you're filling your heart and mind with. And just be careful of your musical diet. And what I mean by this is how much you consume. Too much of a good thing. There's always too much of a good thing. Like you said, you know, sometimes are you sad or mad, and so you just listen to your playlist and drown out the world. Kind of like overeating when you're stressed, right? I just can't deal right now. So you just drown that out with eating or so many other things that we can distract ourselves with. Just be aware of the impact of that on your soul. A constant stream of music, if it's coming from just a godless perspective that isn't taking into account the goodness of God or anything. I'm not saying everything you listen to needs to be a worship song. I'm saying consider, If the message that I'm just dwelling on constantly is really actually, there's no room for God in it, right? It may feel like therapeutic or helpful, but it's not healing, right? Christ alone satisfies. And you have His Word right there to quench the thirst of your soul. So just be careful of your musical diet, how much you consume. Utilize music to worship God. And this is a cool thing too, right? God created music. It's awesome. It can express our emotions. It can just be a fun thing to listen to when you're doing school or exercising or whatever, right? But also utilize music to worship God. Music is so powerful. You can use music if you're musically inclined. Use music to express your heart to God or express what God has done in your life. You can use music to remind you of who God is. If you can get songs stuck in your head that teach you truths of God, right? So, in addition to the fun music you have that you just listen to enjoy, utilize music to worship God. And then finally, simply thank God for the gift of music, right? Music is really cool. It's a powerful tool. I love music. And with anything else in my life, I just need to be intentional with it. And I need to consider, how am I using this in my life? And that's not a legalistic thing to ask, is it? It's not legalistic to say, am I glorifying God with this? Because we're supposed to glorify God with everything. Ask yourself, what is it expressing? How is it impacting me? And at least I hope that'll give you a place to start. And that'll look different for different people because we all have different experiences, different things going on in my life, different emotions that certain songs tap into, right? One song can impact you and be your song, and I listen to it and I'm like, that's the worst song I've ever heard in my life, right? It's really lame, right? No, so it'll look different, but be intentional. Ask yourself these questions. Why? Because we live for Christ. Christ is our Savior. He's done so much for us. He has healed the hurting soul. He has saved us from wrath. He has given us so much. And so we need to be intentional with every part of our life, but I'd say especially music because of how effective and how powerful it is, right? And so since it's such an amazing tool and a powerful tool, the more powerful a tool is, the more intentional you need to be with it, right? You don't wave a chainsaw around, right? You know, it's powerful, so you have to be careful with it. Music is powerful. So be intentional with it. All right? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of music. We thank you so much that you've given us a tool that can be such a powerful expression of what we're going through, what's going on, but it can also be a powerful expression of worshiping you and reminding us of who you are. Lord, I pray that we would be thankful for that gift and that we would use it to your glory and just be intentional in our lives. That we'd be careful, we'd be purposeful in everything we do, including this gift of music. In your son's name we pray. Amen.